This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Easter, always a special time for Christian, and Dr. Wyatt will share his great passion for our faith, who we are, what we believe. Believe me, it starts here.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, Easter, the most important celebration of our faith. To use Sharon's scripture reading, I must use a reading of Luke's account of the resurrection, but it is the same event. And it is about knowing what is the crux of it all.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day arise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalena and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them.
Thank you, Sharon, so much. In my desire to spend this year in the Gospel of Matthew, we do, for a few weeks, need to jump a little ahead. For we must deal with what is the crux of it all for our faith, the passion of the Christ and Easter, the new dawn of human history. Here is, as I have just said, the crux of it all. What is central, the very purpose, the point, the crux, which is from the Latin meaning cross, that the very word cross has come to mean this very foundation, the point of everything, that our lives, our world, our history centers on these few events. To question that is to miss what Christianity has meant to humanity, and how this faith has forced all other belief systems to deal with iniquity, reconciliation, salvation, heaven, the afterlife, and especially the very idea of grace, of yes, God's love. Of course it's all about the cross. What other belief system celebrates the execution, torture, and death of their founder, and then expresses without embarrassment the resurrection of that founder, his appearing alive to several women, his closest followers, and then upwards to 500 at one time? Of course, no other belief system but Christianity. And this day, we as a faith commemorate, yes, celebrate this singular event of the empty tomb, his appearance for 40 days until his leaving, to, as our scriptures state, his taking his place at the very right hand of God. This event has marked our calendars and dominated history since. There are those that don't like that being said, but it is this man and this movement he initiated that has colored everything, our society, civilization, and has directed our expectations and behavior. It is this empty tomb that makes all the other incidences in the life of this Jesus of Nazareth believable. If he left that tomb alive, then what is the problem with his healings, his raising others from the dead? This is also the event that has defined our faith, and it is the preaching of this event that has made Christianity the one true worldwide religion. Here is the event that has inspired millions to dedicate their lives in service, even unto death. It was this event that would so galvanize, stun, and alter the lives of a handful of disciples that they shocked the foundations of the Jewish religion of Judea and would overcome the greatest of the ancient empires, Rome. It was this event that completely changed this small group of believers. These that had once been consumed by their own prophetic hopes, their own ambitions, a kingdom that they wanted to have a part in its power, glory, and wealth. But all that would change, and with the coming of the Holy Spirit, these few, it would be said, would turn the world upside down. So, what is clear is that these few saw something, experienced something never seen before. Something that would overwhelm their senses. They would meet this Jesus, their friend, one they traveled with, ate with, heard countless times teach, and yes, saw him touch the lepers and make them clean, heal the halt, the lame, and deformed, touch the blind and open eyes, halt funeral processions, feed multitudes, and would come to them through the sea and storms. It is the one thing that has made Christianity what it is. Without the cross and resurrection, this would have been just one more messianic movement that would disappear. Another Jewish kingdom effort doomed for failure. But with this event, it would grow to the point of being irresistible. And as it is inspired and enabled by God's own Spirit, it is never irrelevant. Never without answers, never without vibrant witnesses, the kind that cannot be silenced. Even in death, the martyrs, the witnesses of Christianity, continue to speak. I don't think the detractors of our faith understand just why this faith does not go away. In these so-called days of scientific advancement, of rationalism and materialism, it is because here is the truth. And if you want to call it that, here is the evidence of the Christian faith. Matthew will state simply that toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you." So the women departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Matthew's gospel could have ended things right there, as did Mark in his gospel. But he has more to add, more things of significance. For, he says, "Behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Hail!' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Matthew's main purpose is to conclude his narrative with the great commission given to all his disciples in Galilee. But Luke tells us the disciples considered that what the women would tell them was an idle tale, and they did not believe them. And it is also Luke that lets us know that it was not just Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, but Joanna and others. It is John then that will detail the contact of Mary Magdalene with the risen Lord, which does not mean that the other women were not witness to this as well, What is crucial is that the women were not believed, not just because that most men at the time and society as a whole, Jewish and Roman, did not consider the words, views, and perceptions of women as valid. We may rightly question that kind of prejudice, but it was a reality then. But not just that, but think, who would believe such a tale at all? A dead man raised from the dead? A crucified victim, witnessed as dead, even speared in the side to make sure, is now alive? Please be rational, you women. Things like that don't happen. Peter and John will run to the tomb just to check. Peter is bewildered, but John reports that he saw the grave strips, still containing to a degree the shape of the body they once were wrapped around, with the linen face cloth folded and laid to one side. And seeing this, John says he believed. But Peter would require his own visitation. And then that evening, behind closed doors, the 10 will witness the risen Lord suddenly in their midst. Not a ghost, not some ethereal spirit, but with a tangible body. One raised somehow, miraculously, brought through the grave wrappings, and now will, as Luke records, he has to assure them because of their questions, telling them to handle him, that he is flesh and blood, and to further put them at ease, will eat a piece of broiled fish. This with Luke's story of the two disheartened disciples on the way to the village of Emmaus, who would return quickly to tell their story of the risen Christ. This would seem to conclude it, except for John's little story of Thomas, who for whatever reason is not with the disciples that first night. Now, I know that the emphasis is rightly put on the Lord's condemnation of Thomas's disbelief, but then all of them have been questioning this entire scenario. And why not? Dead men do not rise from the dead. And indeed, the millions who have believed since this singular event over 2,000 years ago are to be commended. As our Lord told Thomas, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet believe." Still, this was something very different, unique. In fact, had rarely ever been witnessed before. Elijah raised the believing son of his benefactor. Elisha's bones raised another. King Hezekiah was to die, but was given a reprieve by the word of the prophet. But that's not quite the same, is it? Then Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son, and of course Lazarus. But still, this is different. This was an execution, a bloody death, and now raised anew. Can we not appreciate the questions of the disciples, their doubts and perplexity, and even Thomas? It is not what anyone had really experienced before. And Thomas, like all the disciples upon hearing the amazing story of the women, didn't believe. And it would include all of us, that is, until we saw him. Thomas's abrupt dismissal of his fellow disciples' story is only honesty. His exaggerated insistence that he will not believe until he puts his fingers in the nail wounds and his side is his anger showing itself, perhaps even regret that he had missed the Lord's appearance. But it will change the next Sunday evening, and we have here the climax of John's gospel with Thomas. Despite the offer to place his fingers, there is no report of him doing so. Only that he exclaims rightly so, and I believe does so on his knees before Jesus. Oh, my Lord and my God, truer words of worship have never been uttered. Again, this is the crux of it all. Jesus crucified and now alive. As many of our Christian brothers and sisters will respond this day, he is risen indeed. This event is our faith. And for each concerted effort to denigrate, deny, or redefine this resurrection, they all fail. For one cannot explain the strength, the vitality, the growth, the resounding and logical defenses that arise so naturally without this being true, Matthew in his gospel provides the first such defense. The guards, stunned by the startling events as dawn approached, the guards are powerless, given that they were trained for this kind of work, and yet they will say, as Matthew tells us, as directed by the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem, that the disciples, are you ready for this? Trained soldiers on guard over a sealed tomb, the disciples come and steal the dead body of Jesus while they were asleep. This is still the Jewish response to the empty tomb. The disciples stole it. Yes, those cringing, frightened men hiding in locked rooms stole Jesus' body. Of course, unwrapped the body, leaving the gum and sticky wrappings behind, so they could what? Claim Jesus was alive? Why? So they could continue their ministries? But they had no ministries. It was all Jesus. So is this so they could spread the story of Jesus? Why? It would result in almost every one of them suffering an excruciating death and a short life. The critics are going to have to do better than that. There is only one explanation for what is the crux of our faith. He is risen indeed. Oh, my precious and loving Lord, continue to enable and inspire your people by thy Spirit, that the truth of your life, ministry, death, and resurrection will continue to be proclaimed, that the truth may bring your salvation, redemption, and sanctification to a wounded and fallen world. Do so equip and open doors that more may know of the true source of joy, peace, and love, that only in you are we made whole, that you are our healer, Savior, and King, and are the only hope of mankind. Yes, it is all for your name's sake forever, that thy kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen and amen.
On this Easter morning, we do want to wish all a deep and abiding confidence in He who has risen, and the joy that results and is our faith. He is risen indeed. If you desire more information on this singular event in human history, do write and ask for Dr. Wyatt's book, Evidence of the Resurrection. It is all here, brief and readable. My husband lays out all the evidence and arguments for this remarkable event that is the distinguishing mark of our faith. Do write and ask for Evidence of the Resurrection. It is yours at no charge. We also want to thank those of you who are keeping this ministry in your kind prayers and for your generosity toward this ministry. We do depend on your graciousness that we might be able to get the Word of God out to a world that so needs to hear it. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon, so much. I do want to also thank you for joining us this Easter Sunday. But we are running a little long, so let me introduce Kathleen Sullivan, singing her moving hymn, written for Easter in particular, Morning Light. Kathleen?
Sunlight gleam tears the gloom. Light reveals empty tomb. Every moon the soul's released. Strength renewed, blessed peace.
It is Easter, and we want to wish all the great joy and peace that comes with the faith in this decisive event in human history. This ministry, the Wings of Healing, is dedicated to the proclamation of this gospel, the good news that Christ is risen and alive. We ask that you do write, for we desire to hear what you think about this program. The address is Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Always, any CD of this broadcast can be yours just for the asking. And this week, Dr. White is offering his book, Evidence for the Resurrection. Here will be found the evidence, the historical background, and much more. So do write and ask for your free copy of Evidence for the Resurrection. This is Dennis Colon, asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.